Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn ruler of the Judeans? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When the Magi heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So one of the central characters in today's gospel reading are the Magi. Of course, we only know that there were three gifts, not three Magi, but the reality is that these individuals have fascinated Christians for thousands of years. We find that they are depicted in 3rd century frescoes in the catacombs of Rome. And they were also carved into the facade of Chartres Cathedral in the 13th century. And then, of course, there's the great artists like Leonardo da Vinci and Botticelli and Durer, who all painted the Magi as their subjects. And, of course, how can we forget the nativity scene at the church, as well as our home devotional nativities? They would kind of look a little incomplete without the Magi. And it's funny that we focus on them so much, because they really only appear in 12 verses of the entire Bible. They're mentioned twice by name in one gospel, and this has sparked our fixation. Now, if you know anything about the Magi, you probably know that they were foreigners. They were educated. Scholars believe they were likely astrologers and religious leaders. And the thing that you might not know is that the Magi were connected with foreign rulers who had been at war with Rome for over 60 years. And what today's story reveals is that these Magi come to a foreign land, and they're there to influence another country's government. Now, when they arrived, they asked one question: where is the newborn ruler of the Judeans? But this English translation, it's rubbish. If you actually go back and look at the Greek, a more accurate translation is, where is the one who has been born king of the Judeans? This is not just about a newborn king, but this is about the legitimate king of the Judeans. Now, you have to remember that Herod bribed Mark Antony to put him on the throne. He was not of Davidic lineage. And so when the Magi come and they ask this question, they're asking a political question. They're saying, we want to see the legitimate king, not this puppet ruler that the Romans put into place. You see, the Magi, their question was political and intentionally subversive. And why I bring that up is because understanding that context of the Magi is key to understanding all of Matthew's gospel. You see, today's reading is in the second chapter of Matthew. And this is kind of like the introduction to the whole argument that the author is going to be discussing. And so he's laying out his argument and how it all fits together, like any kind of non-fiction book that you might read. There it is, summarized in one of those final paragraphs of the introduction. And what we see in this final part of the introduction is something that will be repeated over and over and over again in Matthew, and that is the obsession of Matthew with one word. Any idea what it is? You might think Jesus, and that would be a great Sunday school answer. Not the word I'm looking for, but the word is kingdom. You see, throughout the gospel, Matthew is going to compare and contrast God's kingdom with the kingdoms of the world. And at the beginning, Matthew showed us how Herod and Jesus use power differently. And you see, like with the Magi that we already mentioned, it's all, everything that Jesus and Herod, the contrasts that are going on, are all about politics. In the sense that politics, by definition, is about the distribution of power. Now, Herod's politics, well, they were centered in deceit and fear and murder. I mean, he lied without restraint. He manipulated religion for his own ends, and he murdered anyone who dared to question his right to rule. After all, by this point in his reign, he had already murdered his brother-in-law, his wife's grandfather, his wife, his mother, one of his sons, and another son, all to keep power. And what we find is that as the story begun today continues, is that Herod is going to keep doing what Herod does. He's going to murder more. And he's going to take this murderous streak on after the Magi defy his request for more information. What does Herod do, if you know the story? Kills a bunch of babies, right? Anyone, 2 years and under, in the area around Bethlehem or in Bethlehem, slaughtered. All because of his insecurity and fears. And as the theologian Diana Butler Bass puts it, it's hard to imagine anything more heartless and brutal and cruel than to punish the innocent in order to maintain status and privilege. I mean, the Christmas story ends with a tragedy. It begins with the announcement of the birth of a child, and it concludes with the murder of many children. An authoritarian dictator exercised his power to destroy the weakest members of societies. That's why Jesus' family fled to Egypt as refugees, and the Magi escaped by a different route. The bodies of babies were lying dead in the streets, she says. And she goes on to say, Christmas does not come easily. Peace on earth terrifies and threatens those who have prospered under this old order. Corrupt rulers will lie and murder and do anything to stop the possibility of God's dream to being made manifest in the world. And the reality is that Herod was just one more tyrant in the brutal history of tyrants in our world. For when it comes to human governments, there will be good rulers and there will be mediocre rulers, but there will also be oppressors and tyrants aplenty, even after the Prince of Peace is born. Another Herod always awaits, standing at the ready with evil intentions primed to execution. Ooh, Diana Butler Bass. It is Epiphany. How dare you? How dare you remind us of the reality of this story? But you see, the real gift of today is that while from a different faith tradition and a different socioeconomic standing, a different culture, these magi in this story, they foreshadow Jesus' response to those who want to control with fear. You see, the next time that we will hear this phrase, King of the Judeans, when is it? One more time. On the cross, around the crucifixion. It's like I'm preaching to the choir here today. They're getting all of the right answers. Man, good job to your pastors growing up. So we get this King of the Judeans here with Herod, and we get this King of the Judeans mentioned again around the crucifixion, and everything in between there in Matthew, we're actually going to discover what it means to be the King of the Judeans, how that kingdom works differently than the kingdoms of this world. You see, for God's kingdom seeks love instead of control. God's reign is centered in service instead of being served. God's realm seeks forgiveness instead of revenge. God's rule reveals that true wealth is achieved by giving it away to support those on the margins. That is the message of God's kingdom. And this message is just as important for us to hear today as it was during Jesus' life or in Rome's catacombs or 15th century paintings. You see, these magi traveled from afar, not to honor power and fear and military might. Rather, they traveled to honor a true king made for all people. A ruler who prioritizes people over profits. A leader who knows that love is more powerful than fear. A Lord that had come together to bring together the outsiders. The outsiders from foreign lands, the ones who walked and talked and acted in different ways than the Jewish people, those of different religious backgrounds and beliefs, and the ones who came to journey towards a world that was built on God's vision, that understands that each and every one of us are siblings in this world. You see, like Jesus, these magi, they disobeyed when the ruler opposed God's vision. Like Jesus, these magi discerned deceit and they trusted in God's truth. Like Jesus, these magi were brave following God's glimpses of hope, even amidst the deep darkness. And like Jesus, these magi know that God is always with us, no matter how dark or difficult or dreary life looks. And so friends, this is God's gift for us today. It is a reminder that we journey with God's vision as our focus, not the vision of rulers of this time or of other times, but God's vision. It is a call here at the beginning of the new year for us not to lose focus when the discomforts of life set in that try to pull us away from God's vision. For no matter the ruler, we worship Emmanuel, meaning God with us. We trust God's truths that are rooted in love and grace. We discern deceit. We are bold and we are brave. And at times, we, like the Magi, will take the road less traveled towards God's kingdom and not kingdoms of this world. And so may we offer the gifts of ourselves to help bring about God's love and liberation to a world that is so in need this year and always. So friends, let us remember. Let us remember God with us. Let us remember the witness of the Magi. And may we, like Jesus and the Magi, continue to move towards love and grace and justice and peace. Merry Christmas, dear friends, and a blessed Epiphany. Amen.